Good evening. So what do a passenger in seat 3B on a Boeing 737 and a faithful Christian have in common? They're really good, and they need to be good at exit doors. That's what we're going to talk about. Along with that extra little leg room that you get comes some responsibility. You're in charge of opening the exit door hatch should there be an emergency. And as we know, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 10:13 in a minute. A Christian goes through his life looking for exit doors daily. And we better be good at finding it, opening it, and guiding others out. I pulled this up on the line from Southwest Airlines. This is the responsibilities according to federal regulations. You need to be able to sit in 11B, which is nice to get that extra leg room. You have to be able to locate the emergency exit. It's right there next to you. Recognize the emergency exit opening mechanism. You need to be able to comprehend the instructions for opening the emergency exit. You need to be able to operate it. You need to be able to follow the oral directions and hand signals of the crew members. And you need to be able to pass expeditiously through the exit door. So I found that interesting and had some spiritual correlations. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And we're going to look at the encouraging message that's in these two verses. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Think about this. Every time you sinned, you walked past an exit door. Every single time. That's a lot of doors. That's a lot of missed opportunities. Door after door after door. But this verse gives great encouragement for the future. Even though we've made a lot of mistakes and left a lot of doors open and we didn't go through when we should have, these two verses give amazing encouragement. First, in verse 12, it says, therefore let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. It's a warning. Think about that. God the Father is so very interested in getting us to heaven to be with him. He's giving us warning, ample time and foreknowledge of the trials that will come ahead. I just love that. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to find those doors desperately. Number two, in the first part of verse 13, it says that the temptations that we have come on us are common. That's encouraging. It's encouraging to know that I'm not alone. My brothers and sisters are going to have faced the same temptations, and maybe they can show me the door. Maybe they can help me find the door and operate that hatch. Maybe I'm struggling with that door, but I can help them with this one. I'm also really encouraged because of Jesus. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, for we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. Hebrews 2:18 says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Not only do I have my brothers and sisters to help me through find those doors and access those doors, I've got my Savior who came down here and basically tested every one of them and made sure it opened, make sure the hinges were working. Can you imagine being on a flight and it was going down and they couldn't get the door open and they realized, well, nobody ever checked to see if it worked. No one's ever. I'm sure that they have to go through some checklist, right? I've never been on a flight where the crews didn't tell people how to operate those doors and where they are. They were pointing everywhere, right, with their two fingers. Jesus came and tested every single door. In every way he was tempted, he is tempted, and he's gotten through all of them. That's pretty encouraging. I also like it said in Hebrews 2:18, he is able to aid. Well, that's an understatement. He is able to aid. Our Savior, the Creator of the universe, is able to help us? Yeah, I think so. That's pretty ridiculously encouraging. He's tested him for us. Next, he is faithful. the second part of that verse, it says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. God is faithful. We don't need to belabor that. The Bible is one story after the next of God making a promise and keeping a promise. That's encouraging. I'm going to get through some doors, but knowing that. Next, God is sovereign. I love it. Listen to that, what it says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10. It says, He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with temptation, He'll make a way of escape. He's sovereign over everything. He's sovereign over Satan, who puts the temptation before us. But He's like, you got limits. I'm not going to let you do it. Just like He did in Job chapter 1. Satan, you can go after his things, but don't touch his body. He set boundaries. Satan is restricted by God. I get encouragement knowing that I'm going to face a lot of challenges and a lot of temptations. The door's there. I can get there. God promised me I can find that door if I look for it. He's an amazing, amazing God. And finally, just the whole context. Look who's on our side to help us get to that door, that escape. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We have this unbeatable team. Unbeatable team. Nobody's going to keep us away from that door except ourselves. Satan can't do it. It's an amazing thing. God wants us to pray in times of temptation for help. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. He prepares us by teaching us. His Spirit teaches us about the doors, and His providence helps us as well. As I get older, I find myself, it's easier to identify the doors. It's easier to grab the handle. It's easier to open the door. It's easier to expeditiously get through, much easier than it was when I was younger. But there's still a problem. And this is the problem that we all have to cope with. Even though we have Jesus as this great example, we know that He's been through these doors. We know that He can help us. He's all-powerful. He's beyond able. We know that He loves us and wants us to do it. We're still going to pass by doors. And we have to acknowledge that. No matter how mature we are in Christ, there will still be doors that we pass right by and fall into sin and let the temptation take us. So I need more than that. And God provides. 1 John 2 verses 1 and 2 says this, My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. What we really need, above Jesus' example and His encouragement and His strength and all that we talked about, we need an advocate, because we are going to leave doors shut. And that's just the honest truth. No matter how hard we try, we're human and we're going to keep sinning. But here's the most amazing news of my little talk here for 12 minutes. He's our advocate. An advocate's like a lawyer, right? And having a good lawyer, when you're up for a capital offense and you may face the death penalty, it's extremely important to have a really good lawyer. Because if you are inarticulate, but he is articulate, guess what you look like in the court before the judge? You look articulate. If you are weak, but your lawyer is, your advocate is strong, guess what you look like? Strong. Because he's there taking your place. He's before the powerful judge on your behalf. You basically become your lawyer. He takes the place for you. If I'm ignorant and he's brilliant, guess what I look like? Brilliant. And that's what Jesus does for you. I basically lose myself in my advocate. We each do. But not only do we need a perfect, awesome lawyer to get us out of this mess, we need a good case. Because the judge, you can't bring false testimony before him. You can't bring fabricated evidence. You can't lie like human courts because he's God. So we have to have a good case. We have to have a great lawyer. We have to have a very ironclad case. And here's how it plays out. A lot of people think that, I think I maybe used to think that, well, when I sin, Jesus is there saying, oh, Father, Eddie's let that door shut again. Please give him another chance. Please. And day after day after day, Jesus goes and pleads for mercy and pleads for another chance over and over and over again. But I don't see this as the case at all. That's not the case. That's not a very good case. We're not giving our masterful lawyer a very good case. Here's the case. The case is mercy has already been granted. The interesting thing is what this lawyer really is doing is asking for justice. And let me explain. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just. A Christian who sins has an advocate, the perfect advocate, who has the case that goes before the Father and says, I want justice. Well, that may be a little confusing. But here's the situation. Here's what Jesus can say. The price has already been paid for. I paid that price. And it would be very unjust to punish him again for the same crime. So I'm not dependent on the sympathy of the court that day. I'm actually Jesus is presenting a case that's ironclad, that's open and shut. He's basically saying, my client must be acquitted under the law. The law demands acquittal. Father, Eddie has sinned, but I paid the price. My blood was shed. I paid the penalty completely. Now, Eddie, if he's punished for this sin, this passing by that door, that means two penalties for the same crime that I've already paid for. That's unjust. So he's got this ironclad, open and shut case. He's paid the price. He doesn't have to do anything but show the Father what he's already done. Show him his blood. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Become the righteousness of God in him. We get to say to our Father, please, Lord, accept me, not because of the good I've done or who I am, but because of what Jesus did. We become lost in our advocate. James 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We need to escape temptation, because if we don't pass through that door, danger lies. The plane's going down. But also, through that door is a crown. And we have great hope that every day when we face trials and temptations, we've got these promises right before us. So I'll close with that. If there are people, this lesson was obviously for the most of us that are Christians already, as a way of encouraging us to keep pushing through these doors and helping each other find these doors. But there's one door, if you're not a Christian, that must be entered soon. We don't know if we have tomorrow. And if there's somebody in this audience that hasn't put on Christ in baptism, let me plead with you. We must accept that. We need to accept him as our advocate. It's the only way. Otherwise, we will not have a case before the throne. We will be eternally lost. To become a Christian, you need to believe the word. You need to repent of your sins. We need to confess the name of Jesus. And we need to be baptized. And that's where we contact the blood of Jesus. I hope if you have any needs, come forth as Jason leads us in this song, and we'll certainly pray for you and help you. But if you need to put on Christ, we would love to put class on hold and do that right now. So please stand as we sing.